CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gold. Physical gold. The headline in the Financial Times in these last days tells a story of dramatic reversals in gold acquisition. Buy, buy, buy. The headline, colossal, that's a quote. Central bank buying drives gold demand to decade high. Fallout from U.S. sanctions goes to subhead. U.S. sanctions on Russia helped fuel 18% leap in purchases last year, 2022. To help me understand this story, I welcome Charles Thorngren of Legacy Precious Metals, because we're talking about something that has not happened at this scale since before the moon landing in 1969, all the way back to 1967. Lyndon Johnson in the White House, the Vietnam War in full gore, the Cold War locked in, nuclear weapons pointed at each other, Europe in disrepair, Asia lost, China plunging into the depredations of the Maoist regime. And not since then have there been gold purchases at this scale. Charles, a very good evening to you. Are you surprised by this, Charles? Because when we last spoke, we were talking about very carefully recovering from the pandemic. Now it looks like they've got their wallets out. Why, Charles? Good evening to you.
Good evening. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me. And it is an amazing question. And I think we look at this, and as a people, we transfer information and feelings based on what we've recently dealt with. Central banks don't work that way. They operate in a grander scheme of things. So, you know, yes, we're just coming out of a pandemic, but it's much more important what we're seeing with the central banks around the world, not just one or two. We're talking around the world, net purchases of gold. And, you know, 55 years, like we were saying, we haven't seen this kind of purchase. So the first thing I have to ask is, why now? That's the big question. What do the banks of the world see happening right now that tell them to reverse 55 years of policy to now become net purchasers? And I think we look at the scenario and we have to say, it is the economy. It is what we see going on right now. Global inflation, global debt, they need to prepare themselves and make sure that there is some basis of financial security for their countries.
I was heartened to see in the Financial Times story, they used the word diversity. I think diversification. That is something we talk about when we talk about an individual investor. So let's cover that before we get back to the big buys. Okay, why gold? Why physical gold in a portfolio? What is the thinking behind that? Long time thinking, Charles.
Security is really what it comes down to. You have an asset available to you that will withstand the test of time and withstand the increased diminishing of your purchasing power. We have to understand, we talk about inflation and we say 5%, it's too much. 6%, it's going to be too much. The reality is inflation at 2.5%, like the government wants, still erodes your purchasing power. So this is what the gold and silver do for you. They establish something that, regardless of what markets may do, real estate market, stock market, these are there to give you protection against the deflation of your purchasing power, the removal of that by an inflationary process by every government in the world. That's what it's there for.
The price of an ounce of gold. Right after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, it went to an all-time high, $2,000. Maybe not all-time, but certainly very high. And for the last year since then, it's been declining down to $1,600 per troy ounce. And now it approaches $2,000 again. So a sudden reversal. I see in the chart it started in November. Perhaps we're getting used to the war, or perhaps we understand that the only thing you can count on is the gold you keep in your central bank. That's Russia's solution. That would explain Europe, Turkey, the Middle East, all weighing in on this. Turkey, though. Turkey outbuying everybody else. Does that surprise you, Charles?
It does a little bit, but not so much that I go, oh, wait, we have to investigate. We have to look at Turkey for what Turkey is. Turkey, as a NATO member, but they are also a country that deals in trade much different than Europe, much different than the United States. They are a connector between regimes we don't necessarily like and what we consider to be our friendly allies. So Turkey needs to have something that everyone around the world wants. And this is how they facilitate, and this is how they maintain their control in a very volatile, you know, area of the world. Turkey's right there in the mix of all of the things that are happening with oil. You know, they, as a producer of many metals, understand the value of gold, and they understand the need to be able to trade in matters that give them the best terms. So this is why I'm not very surprised to see Turkey do it. But it is interesting that the amount that they purchase is more than anyone else. That is a little shocking to me.
Presuming that President Erdogan is not going to call you up and ask for a consultation. If somebody does call you up and ask for a consultation, what are they going to learn, Charles? And how do you manage your accounts?
You know, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to take a look at each individual's specific needs, what their portfolio, what their retirement dreams, what their financial dreams are, because that is where we're going to base the information. This is not a one size fits all. I know it seems like that. We say gold and silver and think it's just two items. There's many ways to diversify yourself. So we're always going to focus on each individual's need and find a solution that works for them. So that's the first thing they can expect. And the best thing, I think, though, is that we're going to remove the fear of what's happening in the markets for these individuals. They're going to know they now have a protection in place to where they don't have to worry what the markets do today and tomorrow. They are secured and they have a plan to ride through this and get to their ultimate goal.
The central banks keep buying. It doesn't matter the price to them. They want security. That's what gold provides over a great deal of time. What I've learned from you in the past, however, is that you're available not to sell, but to recover the history of why people own gold for hundreds of years, thousands of years. But I want to go to 1967. I said what was happening in 1967. My youth, Charles. What happened after 67 was a catastrophe called the inflation of the early 1970s, Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon took the gold standard and threw it away. The dollar was floated. That led to the crisis across Asia, across Europe, that didn't end until the end of the Cold War. Now, gold is not a predictor, but people do have a sense of bad times coming. I wonder, Charles, if we talk again in 55 years, I wonder if we see that spike in central bank buying in 2022, 2023 as a warning of what's ahead.
I believe you will. Central banks don't do things on just a whim. It's well thought out. They are responsible for the economy and the financial protection of nations. So when they move, it is with thought and with care. This recent purchase isn't surprising to me. I will look at it and say, you know, central banks conveniently purchased as gold dipped. So they knew ahead of time where we're going. Just like when we talk about the Fed rates right now, there's no surprise where we're going to be. I think we both know that we'll probably see another quarter next month. This is by design. This is well thought out. And I think you see the central banks responding to the program that's in place for world economics.
The UBS is saying its year-end price target is $2,100 per troy ounce, barring no war, up from $1,850 per troy ounce. Charles Thorngren of Legacy Precious Metals, that's the website for consultation. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 61-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. When you need